Several years ago, about 06 to 07, I had a breakdown, a type of a breakdown. It wasn't a nervous breakdown. It was a multiple physical problems. I went through for just about a year. And there was times that I went to the chapel to be in a meeting, and I didn't even want to be there. I'd get in the pulpit, and I'd feel so bad I didn't want to preach. But I found the power of God in the pulpit. And I would tell the saints, I'd say, you pray, I preach. So I need your prayers this morning. I desire them that the Lord will have mercy and help us out. Give us what he wants. Why don't we look the Lord in the word of prayer? Our Father, we come to you today to thank you for this day. Lord, this is the day the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, we want to hear from your word. We want you to rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus, run him out of here and down the road. And we want you, Lord, to give liberty and freedom in all of us, not only in the pulpit, but all of us this morning, to have what we need from you, to be able to get what you want us to have. We're looking to you to have great mercy on me and my body. I'm not what I used to be. I'm failing some. But Lord, you've always been true and faithful to help us when we needed it, and we thank you for that. Ask you to do it again this morning, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, let's go to Isaiah 66, please. I'll read the first and the second verse of Isaiah 66. Thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have seen, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Now then, I want to go to Acts the 7th chapter. Acts the 7th chapter, 49th verse. It said, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, but heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? I want to speak this morning by the help of the Lord of what house will you build me? What house will you build me? What is our main interest this morning? What are we really striving for? What are we interested in more than anything else? If we're going to make heaven, folks, we're going to have to do it by the grace of God and by our determination that we want to go there. The devil's going to do everything he can do to stop us, slow us down, cut us off, whatever you have, you want to say it. But the Lord this morning died. He shed his blood. He done everything that he needed to do to make a plan for you and I to go there. And we're going to have to put everything we've got in it to be able to get there. So he's asking us the question. He said, heaven's my throne. Earth is my footstool. He's looking. He is the head. He is the main one, so to speak. And he said, what house will ye build me? What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? What house will you build me? Now then, I could be wrong, but most of us here this morning would like to have a nice home. We're interested in that. Some of us maybe has built our own homes, drew the plans and so forth, made it up and done everything need to be and got a hold of the builder or done it ourselves and built that home. And it's a home that we looked at, we appreciate, maybe we've lived in for several years. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Now then, I know a family of builders. Everyone in the family were builders. And the children's all still alive. And they have about a 10,000 square foot house. It's up on a mountain, so to speak. You can see for miles from there. And it's a beautiful home. They knew what they wanted. They put everything as far as they studied it out. Said, well, we want this in the kitchen, that in the kitchen, want this the bedroom, blah, 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 this the bedrooms and our bathrooms. And they studied it all out and they built it the way they wanted. I've been in that home a number of times. It's a beautiful home. It's a beautiful home that they made. Listen, folks, this morning, the Lord wants you and I to have a real interest in building something for God, building something by the grace of God. Have an interest that the spiritual life that we have, and not just any spiritual life, not a sham life, but a full life, a powerful life, a life that God would be pleased in. It's not that we look on it so much and say, I'm pleased with that, but the bottom line is, what's God say about it? What's he saying about the life that we're living? Are we living a life that's a challenge to people? Are we living a life that's a challenge to sinners, to saints, to hypocrites, to backsliders, to gossip hounds? Are we living a life, building a house, having a spiritual life? That's what this is talking about. It's talking about a spiritual life. I'm not talking about a brick and mortar home this morning. I'm talking about a life that God is interested in and blessed in. He's got all the grace that we need to build it. All we got to do is put everything in it to get it done. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? What house? Oh, this morning, there's a lot of rooms, a lot of different type of rooms. Depending on the, I have done a lot of janitor work through the years. I have cleaned everything from shacks to mansions. I spent hours sometimes in big, big homes cleaning them and working. Sometimes 2 days out of the week, I would spend 8-9 hours cleaning this particular home. And at times we would do different things. Sometimes we would do specially over here, or specially over there. But the bottom line is, Mary and Paul wanted that house to be clean. They were going to have a gathering on Saturday or Sunday, whatever. And then we would come out on Monday and clean up after they dirtied everything up. And this went on week after week after week. But the bottom line was, it was a beautiful home to look at. It had bedrooms. It had a number of bedrooms. It had a living room and a dining room and a formal dining room. Had an eating area in the kitchen area there. And so it was a beautiful, beautiful house. I looked at it and I loved it. There's been homes that I've gone in, I've looked them over, and I said, I could live here. I like this. This is pretty. And then there's homes I went in that I didn't like. Well, I wouldn't want to live there. But I'm going to tell you today, God wants you and I, by his grace and by his help, we're going to have to do much praying. We may have to do plenty of fasting. But the bottom line is, he wants you and I to have a victorious life and to build a house and have rooms in that house that people could look at and say, I like what I see. I think this is something that I want, that I'm interested in. Lord, help us. This life is not just about you and I. This life is about other people too. And it's not just the preachers that this way, it's all of us. That we want a life that will challenge and stir people up. We want to see people make heaven. We've done a lot of things to get them there. We've held meetings after meetings after meetings, revival meetings after revival meetings. We've had camp meetings after camp meetings, an assembly meeting. That was all for the glory of God and the good of souls. But listen, folks, it don't just stop there. We got to do it on a personal basis, day in and day out. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? What house will you build me? What house are you building today? The largest house that I know of in the United States is the Biltmore Mansion. The Biltmore Mansion was built by George Vanderbilt. It has in that house 173,000 square feet. It covers 5 full acres of land. It's 330 by 660. It's 5 stories tall. I've been in a lot of homes from the White House on down. I've seen multiple mansions that I didn't clean, just went to tour. And this, I believe, is by far the prettiest home I've ever been in. But the bottom line is, when I got to digging into it, I found out that it was not complete. I thought, what? Said, yeah, they didn't do just everything to every room. Now, it wasn't the main rooms they didn't complete. It was maybe a bedroom over here or a bedroom over there or something like that, that they didn't totally complete. But the bottom line is, I didn't get to see those rooms. I just saw the completed rooms. Today, the Lord wants us to complete every room. He wants us to complete it in such a way that people can look at that and say, thank the Lord, I like that room. I like the style of it. I like what's in it. What house will you build me, saith the Lord. The Lord asking us this morning, what are we doing? Have we got the victory this morning? Have we got what the Lord would have us to have for this meeting? Are we getting everything out of this meeting that we can get out of it? Did we come here just to look everything over and eat the food and sleep in the beds and so forth? Or did we come here for our soul's sake? Lord, help us this morning. What house will you build me, saith the Lord. 127 of 1, a good book of Psalms, 127 and 1 here. Except the Lord build the house, they labor. You pray for us. They labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It's vain for you to rise up early, to set up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. It said, except the Lord build the house, and they labor in vain that build it. The Lord's going to have to be in this. He wants the glory. He wants the glory of what he does for us. How much do we thank the Lord for what he has done for us? Recently, last week, I was needing to find something and I couldn't find it. I still hadn't found it. I don't know where it's at. I went upstairs. I told Molly, I said, well, I'm going to go up there and go back to the year. I have a box at the end of the year that I put all of my everything in, containing all of my businesses in that year's box, 19, 20, 21, whatever. This was in the year of 2019. And I was trying to find an answer to be sure I knew what was there. And I couldn't find the bank statements to tell me. So I went up there and I looked through that. I finally found 2019. I looked through it and I couldn't find the statements. I went to another box and looked at it. And maybe a third box and looked at it. And while I was looking, the Lord brought to me your deposit slips. I never thought about just looking at the deposit slips. I was looking for the statements. I couldn't find them. I went to that back to 2019. I reached down in there and found those deposit slips. I got myself downstairs to my office and began to look, and sure enough, I found everything I wanted right there. I felt like that was the Lord. Now, some people may say, well, it wasn't a big thing. No, it wasn't, but the bottom line is something that God does for us. Now then, another thing happened. I sometimes spend, I can spend 5-6 hours in a bathtub trying to get my legs to climb down or calm down where I can sleep. And the other nights, and there have been times that I have actually fallen asleep and the water's still running. But usually I've turned it down to where it's real low. This particular time, it wasn't real low. And I fell asleep and I woke up and it was a little bit going over the top. And I like to panic real quick. But the Lord woke me up just in time to take care of the problem where it wasn't a major disaster. And I appreciate that. You say, well, that's not a big thing. No, it's not. But the bottom line is, he did it. I didn't do it. Listen, he wants to do all these different things for us, but he wants our attention whereby he can help us to get what we need to get to build the house that he wants us to build. Well, maybe I want a certain color, but maybe the Lord wants a different color. Maybe I want to build a certain cabinet. Maybe he wants it done a different way. The Lord this morning is interested in us doing, but him helping and getting it all done. So except the Lord build the house, he's going to have to help us. We're going to have to allow him to work in that house. They labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. All right, let's go to John 14, St. John 14, 14, 1 and 2. In my Father's house. You remember that scripture? In my Father's house. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again, receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. In my Father's house. Today the Lord has a lot of beautiful lives that are out there that is a blessing to a lot of people. People are looking. Said in my Father's house, the house of God. The church of God. Say, well, this means heaven. Not totally. This can be here too, what I'm understanding. I may be wrong on that, but I don't think so. And if it were not so, I would have told you. In my Father's house are many mansions. There had been people that has looked for the truth for maybe years and maybe found one person, and that life of that one person so challenged them that they were willing to look this way, to think about making a change from what they were to this, to pray, to seek God, to leave this particular body of people and come over with the Church of God of Evening Light. They were willing to do that because of the mansion that they found, something that interested them, something that captivated their attention. In my Father's house are many mansions. Today, we don't want just a shack by the side of the road, folks. We want a mansion. Amen? We want a mansion, something. The Gillenbecks, Philip, Dan, and Mark, and Steve. I met them about 1972 before most of you ever saw them. They were still boys at that time. I'm a few years older than even the oldest one. And so I was talking to Dan. They knew the Green family. You know who the David Green family is? Who can tell me? The David Green family is a family that owns Hobby Lobby, that built it to what it is today. And so I asked Brother Dan, I talked to him one time, and I said, you mean to tell me you didn't know they were rich? He said, no. He said, I did know this, that their mother, the boys and him, and I don't know who else, would go to eat at a drugstore that had a soda fountain area, and they would make food, and they would go to eat there, and said she'd drive up in a big car, and she'd get out and pay for everything, eat with them and pay for it. But he said, one day, Brother Carl, they invited me to their house. And he said, I was a boy, I was kicking rocks, and I was walking along and going. And he said, all of a sudden, I got to where the house was, and I looked up, and I saw the house, and I went, wow. It was a big home. It was a home bigger than maybe Dan had ever seen before in his life. And it got his attention. It was a mansion, see. It was something that was beautiful. I understand that David Green has a house in the southwest part of Oklahoma City that's huge. That's a big mansion. It's got a garage that'll hold a number of cars in it and so forth. I understand sometimes these rich people's got big garages because they got all these fine cars to put in it. Well, today, we want to build a mansion. I'm not interested in building a shack. I'm not interested. I've cleaned shacks. I've cleaned little houses. I've done that. But the ones that really get my attention, and when I was at the Biltmore one time, the Biltmore has an area in front of it that's a sloped area that goes up quite high, and you can go up there and you can look down on the house. And I was up there and I was looking down, and the Lord told me, he said, I have many mansions greater than this. I've got them. Listen today, the Lord wants you and I to build a mansion that will get people's attention. Like Brother Dan, wow. That's something. It's different. It's greater. It's beautiful. I didn't know they had it. I didn't know they were rich like that. But the bottom line is, listen, the Lord wants you and I to be rich in the grace of God, the power of God, the working of God. He wants us to have a house that will be beautiful for people to look on, a mansion with many, many rooms of different victories and powers. We want some trophies in that room. There was a house I was cleaning one time. I had a big old moose head hanging up on the wall. And I don't know what I was doing, but I was cleaning, wasn't paying much attention. And I happened to walk right up under this big old head, and it just would barely clear the top of my head. And I looked up at that thing. Got my attention. It was a trophy, see? Listen, the saints have got some trophies in their houses. They've got some things where they've got some victories and some things sitting there that I got this victory by the grace of God. He helped me with this and this and that. Listen, that's the thing that'll help get people's attention in our mansion, is have some trophy rooms, praise God. Have some things in there that will get their attention. We want them to see something. I worked with a man one time, and he was in a Babylonian church. And I didn't work. I was helping Terry Morgan. My brother was off on vacation. I couldn't do what my brother did in body work, but Terry had things I could do, and I needed a little bit of work at the time. And this man, we got to talking, he talked about people that He called them hypocrites, church people now, and he called them hypocrites. So I listened to him. I don't know just what all I said, but I listened to him. And then I'd watch him, what I call, throw him in the hypocrite trash can. Day one, day two, day three, day four, he'd talk about this every day, best I remember. It's been a number of years ago. One day, he mentioned a saint. I said, let's see what's going to happen now. What's he going to say about this man? Because I knew this man. I'd sleep in his home, eat off his table. He'd come listen to us in services and so forth at different places. We'd be in meetings together and so forth. He had made a pretty good amount of money, had a big old home himself, had quite a bit of land on a river, by a river there. And I thought, what's he going to say? He couldn't say good enough about him. I thought, yes, here's your difference. This man lived the life the others didn't. He knew the life of a saint was different than those of hypocrites and so forth. And so it got his attention. Listen, folks, Lord, help us to build a house that gets their attention. A mansion. Let's not just set our sights on a little two-room shack or our little cabin by the creek. Listen, let's pick a place that is up on a mountaintop. That's a place of victory and power. That has rooms. That has a building that's solid and stayed. I know of a mansion out in the state of Oregon that the walls were 1 foot thick, solid cement. Big house. Had windows in it. This wide and so many deal. And they had a view for miles that you could see the mountains. I think it was a Three Sister mountain range. You could look at that. People looked at it. I looked at it. It's beautiful. Oh, today the Lord wants us to have a house that's a challenge to people's lives. All right, let's go to Proverbs 24 and 3. Proverbs 24 and 3. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my, where is the place of my rest? Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make war, in the multitude of counselors there is safety. It says here, through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. Now then, what's the Bible say about wisdom? It said, if any man lack wisdom, do what? Let him ask of God, who give to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Now then, we don't know sometimes what to do. We're in a battle, we're struggling maybe, and things are not going good, and we're thinking, what can I do here? Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord for the help, the wisdom, the understanding, and he can give you. It don't take him very much to help us. Sometimes men help men and women help women, and it may take them an hour to explain something. It takes 1 or 2 seconds for the Lord to pop something in your mind and go, that's it. That's what I need to do. I need this scripture, or I need this grace, or whatever, and you look at it through wisdom as a house building. Listen, we need the wisdom of God to help us to build this house. To build it every day. Not just once a month or whatever. Of course, sometimes we go along pretty good for a while. Then we run into some trouble. But the Lord, he's there. Said, through wisdom is a house builded. Oh, today, he thrills, I believe, or is blessed. Maybe that's a better word. He is blessed for you and I to pull on his wisdom, to inquire and to say, Lord, I need your help in this. I don't know what to do. I want to do this in my house, and I don't know how to do it. I had a situation in the first home I owned, and I couldn't figure out how to do it. I didn't know then what I know now, and I don't know nothing like some of the carpenters in the church. And I was in bed one morning, just laying there, and woke up and thinking about this situation, didn't know what to do with it. And if I'm not mistaken, I asked the Lord, Lord, what can I do here? How do you do this? Well, wasn't he a carpenter's son? He brought it to mind exactly what I had to do. I looked at the situation. I said, yes, that will work. Done it, and it worked. Listen, that was a small thing. It wasn't a major cabinet I was building or whatever. It was a small thing. But it didn't take Jesus long to say, this is it. Listen, folks, the Lord wants to help us to do the small, the medium, and the large things in our mansion, to be able to have something that will be attractive to souls, praise God. Something that will be an encouragement and a strength as we go along the way. I went through a battle one time. It was a long and it was hard. And I got the victory. And somebody told me in a congregation, they said, Brother Carl, yes. Said, there's somebody in this congregation been watching you. I said, oh, really? Yeah. Said, they know you've been going through a long battle. And they've also watched you get the victory. And they said, this was their response. If Brother Carl can do it, I can do it. Listen, folks, today, these people looking at us as we're building our house, maybe we're struggling with something, but as we get through and we get the victory and they're watching, they say, if he can do it, she can do it, I can do it. Listen, is that not a blessing to people? Yes. The Lord said, what house will you build me, saith the Lord. What house will you build me? Oh, through wisdom is a house building by understanding. Oh, the understanding of God. That understanding of the Word, that understanding of God, that understanding of the church, that understanding is something that, Lord, help us to have. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. All the things. Now, people like riches. Most people do anyway. But the riches of God, the rich of his grace, of his knowledge, of his understanding, those riches are greater than the monetary riches that you and I can have. And by knowledge shall the chamber be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. By knowledge shall the chambers, the depths of our knowledge in God. The deeper we get, the more we know. And the understanding that we have will help to fill the chamber. Shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. By wise counsel thou shalt make war. Oh, today, Lord, help us. Let's go to Matthew 7 and 24. Matthew 7 and 24. He said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Now he said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, hear these things. Are we listening real intently? Now then, probably most people in here know my hearing ain't what it used to be. It's gradually deteriorated down through the years from all the way back to my college days. And I can't hear good. But natural hearing and spiritual hearing is two different things. We want the spiritual hearing to be very keen. We want to be able to hear what thus saith the word of the Lord. Thus saith what the Lord says. Preached a message recently in a congregation on hearing. And in one place there, the still small voice. We need to be able to have hearing so keen that we can hear thus saith the word of God and thus saith the spirit of the Lord in a real, if he's saying it real quiet, just real gentle and easy unto our hearts and our minds, that we hear that. So it said here, though, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. Now there's people that get in a pulpit that's a little bit calmer. Some of us is a little bit more loud and rowdy. But the bottom line is today, we want to hear what the Lord says of the ministers that he has for you and I to listen to. He wants us to listen very carefully to what they say. So whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and then doeth them. Now we not only hear it, but do it. Now then, are we hearing good? What have we got out of this meeting so far? Have we got some good things out of the meeting thus far that's been an encouragement, been a strength, been a blessing to you and I? And then what we've heard, are we putting it to practice to help us to build our mansion? To do something. And he said, hearing them, these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. Now, Lord, help us. The Lord to look down, so to speak, and say, that is a wise child right there. They're doing what I'm helping them. We can't do it by ourselves. The Bible's already told us that it's going to take him to help us. And so here he says that, liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Now this wise man, if you're going to have a big house, if you're going to have a mansion, you're going to have to build it right. You're going to have to start right to end right. And you're going to have to build deep down. Your footings and everything has got to be deep and wide. One man, he drew the plans up for a house. And he took them to an architect then, and he wanted the architect to check them all out and see if there is any changes he need to make and so forth. So he took it to it. So then the architect called him and said, okay, come back and I'll talk to you. So he did. And he asked him, he said, well, architect, do I have my footings and my everything good enough, deep enough, so forth? He said, well, let me put it this way, sir. You got it good enough that you can build a 10-story building on that footing. 10 stories. In other words, he was doing it right. He was doing it where it would last. I'm not interested in my house falling just before I die. I'm not interested in my house falling just before I get victory. I want my house to be on a solid rock. Who's that rock? Jesus said to the people, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Listen, Jesus is the rock. We want to build on him. This whole message centers around the one and only Jesus Christ, the righteous. And if you and I want to have victory, if we want to have a mansion that will be beautiful and strong, that will last, that will be solid, where when the storms hit and the wind prevail, they won't blow it down, bless your heart. There's a mansion down in Galveston, Texas, I believe it is. I may be wrong on the spot, exact spot, but it's in Texas. It's a big home. It was built right. It was built strong. And there was a hurricane coming in. And this had been many, many years ago. This house had been there for a long time. And they said that when everybody was looking over, and they didn't know then, they didn't have the stuff that they have now and all this hurricane business and so forth. They didn't have the planes that went down and studied it, and they didn't have all the graphics and all that they work with. And so what do you think they did? They left their shacks. They left their medium houses. And the people that owned the mansion said, you come stay with me. They all went to the big house. They went in there. And guess what? The winds blew and howled, and the rains come, the tornadoes come, but they couldn't shake the house, for it was built on a solid rock. It was something that worked in such a way that they could be there, praise God. Listen, folks, today, the church of God is built on a solid rock, and if you and I work with that church of God, in that church of God, build our mansion, so to speak, in that church of God, we'll be in a solid place to be able to live a life and challenge the people and to be able to go right on. The winds can howl, the storms can blow, the lightning can thunder. I got a stepdaughter that is scared to death of lightning. And it's kind of funny in a way. Sometimes if she's good and sound asleep, may not bother her. But if she's not, excuse me, if she's not maybe just quite as sound as she ought to be, it'll wake her up. And guess what she does? She comes out of bed, she hits the mama, Mama! It's lightning out there. She's scared, see? And guess what? She climbs in on one side, Mama's on the other side, and Carl's down in her bedroom, then sleeping in her bed, or in the recliner, whatever. But the bottom line is, it's got her stirred, it's got her scared. Listen, folks, today the devil wants to scare every one of us. He wants to blow wind so strong that no matter what, we get scared. But I got news for you. We can build a mansion that's solid, that can be connected right in with the church of God, and it'll be so strong and solid that it won't blow it down, praise God. It won't blow it away. It'll be something that will stand there day after day. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, liken him to wise men which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended and the floods came, And the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it's founded upon a rock. Thank the Lord for the solid rock today. The one by the name of Jesus Christ that said the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. My body of people, it won't do it. Thank the Lord for that today. Luke 6 and 47 is a likened reading like this, but it says, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I'll show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it's founded." He digged deep. Now then, if you're going to build a bridge, especially a big bridge, and you need, I don't know what they call it, the pillars or whatever that go down deep. If I understand right, they do studies to know exactly where those pillars should be put. And so they don't put them except right where the instruction, that ain't the right word for it, says this is where you need to put it. So Lord, help us. We need to dig deep. How deep are we digging in God today? How deep are we reaching down? Lord, I want to be deeper. I want to be more solid, Lord. I want to be strong in the things of God. How many of us are doing that today? All right, let's go to 2 Chronicles 7, 1 and 2. 2 Chronicles 7, 1 and 2. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. Now then, ministers, don't take me wrong when I make this statement, but I'm not interested in us ministers that's here. Now don't take me wrong now. What I'm interested in is God being here. We need the Lord here. We've got to have him. His glory, his power has got to be in this place. If we're going to be fed, challenged, and stirred, we've got to have the Lord's presence in every service. Not once a month or once a year, once a meeting here and there. We've got to have it continuously. We want his presence here to do, because he can do what nobody else can do. Listen, I may be able to preach a little bit by the help of the Lord, but the bottom line is, it takes him to anoint. It takes him to open up and reveal. It takes him to stir heart. It's not just what I say, but the bottom line, that spirit. Molly has a lot of records. We've been going through things in our garage trying to get both sides of the garage where we can get two cars in there. We've been giving stuff away. We've been selling stuff. We've been doing all kinds of things, get all this stuff out. And we're getting there slowly. Well, Molly has a lot of records. I have a lot of records too. I'm talking about the big records. And so we were going through them, and of course she hadn't been saved near as long as I have, and she's got singers and records that I don't have. And we were going through these, and here's one of Elvis Presley, Amazing Grace. Here's one of this one and that one. But every once in a while, I'd pull it up on my phone and listen to it, because I'd never heard that person. And I got to thinking, while I was doing this, I got to thinking, you know, there's some of these singers are also songwriters. They write them and they sing them. And they do things in a way that is hopefully good for their pocketbook and maybe good for the people. But I thought, Lord, we've got a songwriter, the name of Jesus Christ, that is the greatest songwriter that's ever been. He is the one that when it comes to spiritual songs and things of that nature, he's the one. Fanny Crosby. There have been times that ministers have been holding meetings and they needed a song. And if I remember right now, I read this in a book, if I remember right, they come in and they would give her some words or a tune or something and say, "We need your help. Can you get this ready quickly?" And she would have it for them in a short time, maybe quick enough to sing that night. Yeah. That takes God. That's not just Fanny Crosby, a blind woman, but it was her spiritual insight, her connection to God. The songwriter. Listen, folks, He's not only the songwriter, but he's a preacher in the pulpit. Listen, he's the one that gives these messages. I don't just get in there, well, I want to preach on what a house will you build me, saith the Lord. I don't do that. I pray over these things. I spend hours and hours in study and so forth. Not maybe sometimes as much as others, but I spend literal hours by the help of the Lord getting the scriptures and praying, Lord, what do you want? And then when I get in the pulpit, I need him there too. Listen, folks, Jesus is the one that we've got to have in every service. If we're going to have a service. Now that I was talking to a brother, oh, I can't remember now who it was. But anyway, he said that this man invited him to his church. And so he went. Said it wasn't anything. Didn't do him any good or whatever. No. So he said, now then I'd like you to come to my church. And I don't remember what the congregation was. I can't remember now who told me this. But he said he'd come. And he said he'd listen. And they parted ways that evening and got back together later in the week. And he told him, he said, I've never been in a service like that. Never. Never heard what I heard that night. Said it was good. It was very good. Said, you do things that's different. He said, yeah, we're led by the Spirit. It's not all a program. He said, no, it's not. It's what the Lord, thus saith the Lord, what the Lord wants. Listen, that's what gets the people's attention. I've been in numbers and numbers of funerals in my life. And they're most generally, well, no, not most generally, every time. The saints' funerals are the best funerals I've ever been in. They pass. And I've been in Babylonian funerals. I've even helped Babylonian preachers preach funerals and work in funerals like that, done that. And some of them very good. One of them was a Baptist preacher. Another one was a Church of God preacher, but he wasn't with the Evening Light Saints. But one time there was a preacher got up. And we went to this funeral. This wasn't here in Oklahoma, it was in another state. And I've heard a lot of preachers preach funerals. And some of them can be fairly decent. But this man read every word he said in that chapel. And he was so boring. It got time to dismiss. And he even read his prayer. I cheated. I looked. I just wanted to see if he's going to read his own prayer. He did. Got in the car and I said, Rebecca Ann, I said, if that man throw that little book away, or those two little books away, he might be able to preach. He got to the cemetery, and I don't know what made him do it, but he took the Bible that time, and he opened it up, and he wasn't too bad. He should have done that in the chapel. Listen, folks, today, it is the power of God, the presence of Jesus Christ, in our funeral services, in our weddings, and so forth, that has quite an appeal on people. It's him. It's not you and I. I'm not tall, dark, and handsome, so to speak. But the bottom line is, it's the Spirit of God in our lives, in our mansions, that he's helped us to build and place and in a steady and a solid position whereby they can look at us and say, that's the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. The glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. Oh, today, what is glory? Who can tell me what the definition of glory is today? Well, let me tell you what I understand it is. And I not only understand it, but I've been there. Glory of the Lord is extreme nearness of the presence of God. West Virginia, 1987. I've been sick for quite a while. And one night the Lord come down, and he got so close to me I thought I was going to explode. I was shouting and crying at the same time. Sister Salmons and the wife was in the kitchen. I don't know where Brother Mark was. Old General somewhere. He was getting school ready to have school, I think. And anyway, Rebecca got up and come in there and said, you all right? I said, yes, ma'am, I am. I said, the Lord just got real close to me. The glory of the Lord filled the house. I tell you, folks, I don't know about you, but I've been in services in the Church of God that has been so close to God. The presence had been so powerful that people didn't hardly want to move. Children didn't hardly do anything. Everybody was absolutely just perfectly still. This was in Guthrie. It's happened twice or three times there over the years. And part of it had been in the new chapel. And it was his presence. It was his glory that come down. Listen, folks, that's what we get because we're wanting the workings of the Spirit of God in our lives so much that we're begging him to do everything he can to help us to build the house, to build the mansion, to have the life, to go the places, to be where he'd have us to go. The glory of the Lord filled the house. The glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And it said there, made it in, the fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offerings and sacrifices in the glory of the Lord. And a priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. He was so pleased that he come down and done everything that needed to be done for them. Oh, praise God for that glory. Praise God for those blessings. Let's finish up in 2 Corinthians 5 and 1. 2 Corinthians 5 and 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house. Listen, folks, a house not made with hands, eternal. Praise God, it's time to go get our other house. I have a good friend. She was very, very sick with the flu. She said, one night, Carl, I died, and I went on. She said, I went to heaven, and she said, an angel met her, and she asked the angel, said, is this where the king lives? Yes, ma'am, it is. Said, come and follow me. So she followed the angel, and he took her to a mansion. He said, this is your mansion right here. He opened the door. She said, I didn't go in, but I looked in. She said, I've never seen a building so beautiful as that mansion was. He shut the door, said, follow me. So she did, and she went to a place where they had tables running this way and this way, filled with luscious food. And she said, I'd like to see the king. Can I see the king? Said, he'll be here in just a little bit. Just wait a little bit and he'll be here. She said, in a moment, there was an individual walked up from her right and walked over and looked at her, and she looked at him and their eyes locked. And she said, as she was looking at this individual, she thought, that's the king. And said, his eyes and hers locked, and said, he smiled real big at her. She said, I knew I was his child at that time. In a little bit, she went back to her body. I know of another deal. This was a minister in a Babylonian church. They had had what I would call a minister's meeting. They'd call it maybe a minister's conference. And he left a little bit ahead of some of the others. And he was in a position, and there was a big semi come down. He was in a little car. And if I remember right, it was slick. And that trailer actually come up over and crushed half of his car where he was at and killed him. He said, I went to heaven. And he said, as I was coming up, he said there was a lot of people come out to meet him. Mama, daddy, grandparents, mentors, former pastors and friends and neighbors and cousins and so forth. He said, quite a host of him, host of them. And said, they was hugging me and we were walking up to a gate. And he said, I got up to the gate and it was open just a little bit. And I got over here and I looked inside the gate. And he said, it was beautiful. Streets of gold. Huge mansions. Beautiful. He said, my eyes. And said, I was standing there and all of a sudden, next thing I know, the Lord was bringing me back to his body. Listen, folks, heaven's beautiful. Now, what all's there, I don't know. But I expect there to be a lot of beautiful mansions. Sister Lane told me, said, Carl, I'd never seen a house so beautiful. I read another book where a person went to heaven and her mansion was beautiful. She said, most beautiful house I'd ever seen. Now listen, folks, if we're going to get that, we're going to have to do something here. We're going to have to build a mansion here to get that mansion over there. And we'll step from one mansion to the next mansion. We'll go from one place to the next place. There is people among us that have died suddenly. There is people that's gone through long afflictions and passed away. It doesn't matter how we get it. It's just so that we get it. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or where is the place of my rest? Are we working right here, right now, in this meeting, gleaning, getting the things that God would have us to get to help us to build this mansion? Saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you. I appreciate it. Maybe it wasn't anything big, but it was something that helped you to be more steady, to be more solid, to be more encouraged, to be more uplifted or whatever. It was something there. Not a problem, child. Now, I'm sure every parent in here liked to do what they could do for their children. I couldn't always give them everything they wanted. They got things, but I wanted to do for them. I wanted to get things for them. So I did. Rebecca did. And they're grown now, and I got two granddaughters. The Lord wants to do us greater than we do them. He wants to help us. What house, what mansion, what house will you build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Appreciate your time and attention. Pray for me.